This concludes this series of articles on prayer by J.C. Ryle. I commend to you in the next place the importance of particularity in prayer. We ought not to be content with great general petitions. We ought to specify our wants before the throne of grace. It should not be enough to confess that we are sinners. We should name the sins of which our conscience tells us we are most guilty. It should not be enough to ask for holiness. We should name the graces with which we feel most deficient. It should not be enough to tell the Lord we are in trouble. We should describe our trouble and all its peculiarities. This is what Jacob did when he feared his brother Esau. He told God exactly what it is he feared. This is what Eleazar did when he sought a wife for his master's son. He spreads before God precisely what he wants. This is what Paul did when he had a thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord. This is true faith and confidence. We should believe that nothing is too small to be named before God. Let us never forget that Christ is the true bridegroom of the soul, the true physician of the heart, the real father of all his people. Let us show that we feel this by being unreserved in our communications with him. Let us hide no secrets from him. Let us tell him all our hearts. I commend to you in the next place the importance of intercession in our prayers. We are all selfish by nature, and our selfishness is very apt to stick with us even when we are converted. And there's a tendency in us to think only of our own souls, our own spiritual conflict, our own progress in religion, and to forget others. Against this tendency, we have all need to watch and strive, and not least in our prayers. We should study to be of a public spirit. We should stir ourselves up to name other names besides our own before the throne of grace. We should try to bear in our hearts the whole world, the heathen, the Jews, the Roman Catholics, the body of true believers, the professing Protestant churches, the country in which we live, the congregation to which we belong, the household in which we sojourn, the friends and relations we are connected with. For each and all of these we should plead. This is the highest charity. He loves me best who loves me in his prayers. This is for our soul's health. It enlarges our sympathies and expands our hearts. This is for the benefit of the church. The wheels of all machinery for extending the gospel are oiled by prayer. This is to be like Christ. He bears the names of his people on his breast and shoulders as their high priest before the Father. Oh, the privilege of being like Jesus. This is to be a true helper to ministers. If I must needs choose a congregation, give me a people that pray. I commend to you in the next place the importance of thankfulness in prayer. I know well that asking God is one thing and praising God is another, but I see so close a connection between prayer and praise in the Bible that I dare not call that true prayer in which thankfulness has no part. It is not for nothing that Paul says, "By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God," in Philippians 4:6. And continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. It is of mercy that we are not in hell. It is of mercy that we have the hope of heaven. It is of mercy that we live in a land of spiritual light. It is of mercy that we have been called by the Spirit and not left to reap the fruit of our own ways. It is of mercy that we still live and have opportunities of glorifying God actively or passively. Surely these thoughts should crowd on our minds whenever we speak with God. Surely we should never open our lips in prayer without blessing God for that free grace by which we live and for that loving kindness that endures forever. Never was there an eminent saint who was not full of thankfulness. Saint Paul hardly ever writes an epistle without beginning with thankfulness. Oh, if we would be bright and shining lights in our day, we must cherish a spirit of praise. And above all, let our prayers be thankful prayers. And I commend to you in the last place the importance of watchfulness over your prayers. Prayer is that point of all others in religion at which you must be on your guard. Here it is that true religion begins, and here it flourishes, and here it decays. So mark well the places and society and companions that unhinge your hearts for communion with God. There be on your guard. Observe narrowly what friends and what employments leave your soul in the most spiritual frame and most ready to speak with God. To these, cleave and stick fast. If you will only take care of your prayers, I will engage that nothing shall go very wrong with your soul.